Good morning and welcome to Manna on Mondays. I'm Pastor Ron and I'm thrilled that you have chosen to spend some time with me as we look into God's Word. In this particular case, we're looking at what God wants for us that's disclosed in Proverbs chapter 22. And we're going to pick up from where we left off, which we left off in verse 14. We're going to pick up in verse 15. So won't you pray with me to begin with? Father, thank you so very much for the instruction of your word, that it's there for our benefit. Your word says that it's profitable for teaching, for reproving, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Lord, your desire is to equip us. And sometimes the equipping has to come through loving discipline. So help us to understand that today as we look at this passage in Proverbs 22:15. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. So Proverbs chapter 22, verse 15 says this: folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. Some may argue that the rod of disciplining is out of bounds, that it's wrong. But God's word tells us that the rod of discipline drives it far from him. It doesn't say that we're beating our children. It just says there's a firm line, there's a clear line, it's distinctive, so a child understands boundaries. And why do we set boundaries? Well, we set boundaries because we care for them. And when we don't set boundaries, then a child is left to themselves. But the purpose of those boundaries, of discipline, when they step over those boundaries, is so that we might help them produce something, and what that produces is the fruit of righteousness. Hebrews 12:11 says this: all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful. I can easily agree with that. I'm not too much of a big fan of discipline, but I also know that when I'm out of bounds, that I need that correction because it's for my benefit. You see, all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful. That's good. It's a reminder for the future when I'm tempted to step over that boundary again, to do something that's actually going to be more harmful for me than this discipline that's going to help reshape, redirect me. It says, all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, to those who understand the value of it, afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. God takes discipline in our lives, just as we as parents are to use discipline in the lives of our children to produce fruitful righteousness. That passage shares our goal. Let me explain it this way. For our children, one of the things that as Susie and I got on the same page together, because oftentimes the way that we discipline is the way that we were disciplined. Well, that's always going to be different. And so it creates conflict even in and of itself. But parents, we got to get on the same page. And the same page is, what's my goal? Well, my goal is to win the heart of my child through discipline. Yes, through discipline. So one of the things that we did as young parents and with small children and children that would choose to disobey rules that we've set in place is we would have them go to an uncomfortable room. And so we started with the laundry room until we found our youngest son asleep on the clothes in the laundry room. And so then we said, well, that didn't work. We got to move to a different place. So when they do something, rather than reacting to them out of the frustration or anger, you know, we simply would say, go to the garage. And, you know, their response would, oh, wait a minute, I got to go to the garage. This is an offense that's worthy of going to the garage. Well, it says, and I don't have to argue with them. It just says, just go to the garage. I'm just asking you to go to the garage. So they would have to go to the garage. And what's the point of going to the garage? Well, one, it helps me to calm down, to give me that opportunity to just go, wait a minute, let me keep this in perspective. I don't want to overreact. I don't want to act in anger. I want to respond with the purpose of winning my child's heart. Because what I need to do is I need to help my child understand what they did that was wrong. Well, that's the purpose for why they would go to the garage. So we would go after they've been in the garage a little bit. We've had the opportunity to calm down, make sure Susie and I are on the same page. We pray. And we pray for the restoration opportunity for our child. And we go to the garage and we say, hey, so why are you in the garage? Well, hopefully the response is they acknowledge what they did that was wrong. And then we can walk them through this as, so what would be the right thing to do? How do we make it right? So the one, we're learning, we're teaching, but they're the ones that are examining it. They're the ones that are coming to the conclusion for their own lives. So that's how they're going to learn, right? Is to acknowledge the wrong and to recognize what is the right thing to do. But then how do I restore that offense? Well, that restoring that offense often means that I have to go, I have to humble myself and go to whoever I've offended and acknowledge my wrong and then ask for forgiveness. But, you know, that didn't always work the first time. And they would say, I don't know. So we'd say, well, sounds like you need to think a little bit more of why you're in the garage. So we close the door, you know, and sometimes the garage can be really cold, sometimes it can be really hot, but it's not a pleasant place. It's not a playroom, you know, it's not going to their room where they have all their personal possessions. No, it's out there where it's stinky, they can smell the lawnmower or gasoline or whatever it is. You know, it's not pleasant. That's the idea is, wait a minute, this isn't pleasant for the moment, but there's a need for me to think about what I have done. So then, typically we come back out and we ask them what they've done. And hopefully it's only one other time that we have to come back. Because the goal is to have the child acknowledge their wrong and then to recognize what is the right thing to do. What is the proper way that we should live, our lives, but also then how do we restore? And so it sounds like sometimes we would have harsh treatments for our kids. We would tell them that if you lie, then you're subject to 5 SWATs. What? Well, that's child abuse. Whoa, hang on just a minute. So as they would go to the garage and we would ask them, why are you in the garage? And then they would immediately be broken and acknowledge, well, it's because I told you a lie, Mom, Dad, that was wrong. Oh man, it gives me the opportunity to immediately to demonstrate this thing that they don't deserve because they did lie. But it's called mercy. Now, if they're defiant and they say, I don't know, then we give them that time to think. If they come back again and they say, I don't know, it says, well, okay, you know the penalty for lying. It's 5 SWATs. And they would say, but Dad, I says, well, just face the garage door, pop, you know, 1 SWAT. And usually that would bring the child around. You know, you give them that little SWAT to the seat of learning, right? Never, ever did I ever administer more than 2 SWATs. One time I had, and I remember one time having to administer 2 SWATs, and they're not vicious SWATs. I'm not raging, angry. No, I'm there to win my child's heart because the hope is that they come to a place of brokenness, recognizing the wrong, and they're repentant because that's where a father's love gets the opportunity to embrace their child, to restore their child. But, you know, some people don't want to discipline their children. And might I tell you that if you don't discipline your children, it's as though you hate them. What? I don't know if you remember or not, but in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24, it says this, he who withholds his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. Oddly, the reason we don't discipline our child is we think we're going to damage the relationship. No, we make the relationship healthy by having healthy relationship, right living. Sometimes we don't discipline our child because we idle them. Oh, we give excuses for why we shouldn't discipline them. Oh, it's because of this or it's because of that or somebody else's fault, you know. Or we don't give them boundaries, whatever it might be. But recognize that you're hating your child without proper discipline. Proper discipline is very important in our lives because it shows also our need for a savior. How do I pay for that cost? Well, we really can't pay for the cost of our failures, but we have a savior who does. And so his name is Jesus, and it was his blood on the cross that redeems us. I love Psalm 119, 156. It says, great are your mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your ordinances. him according to what he did for us. So might I encourage you, don't be afraid to discipline your child, but discipline them to win their hearts in love. God bless you all, and thank you for joining me today. I look forward to seeing you next week.